you'd like to turn there. As is our custom, and we have chosen to use the New King James Version here at the Marysville 3CU. And so if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalms 139. Psalms 139. This passage is something, is a passage that you will find that you might be familiar with in some aspects for other reasons and other particular subject areas. But in Psalms 139, there are several points that we want to bring out. And exegesis is more about we're not being thematic or preaching on a theme as much as we're using this particular scripture and going to the things that it brings out. Now, normally a sermon, they like it to be a good three-point sermon. Mine is actually about 5 points with there's a 3B in there. Now, it doesn't mean that it makes it, it's not 6 points long. It's more like 3 points long, but I've added some extra points in there. So let me tell you what we're going to mention. First, what we're going to mention, and we'll bring this out in Scripture, is God searches and knows us very well. The second point is there's no place He is not. Thirdly, I am individually known of Him. A fourth, the writer here declares that he is on God's side. We want to be on God's side. But the writer also declares he wants to stay on God's side in that particular aspect. And we'll cover the 3B in a moment. So God searches and knows us very well. There's no place He is not. I am individually known of Him. And that we want to be on God's side against His enemies, but we also want to be close with Him and stay on His side. So we're going to go down through each of these sections. We're going to look at Psalms 139, 1 through 6. For the first point, God searches and knows us, and knows us thoroughly. And how does He know us? So we find here verses 1 through 6. O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but before the Lord, You know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, and laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. As we look at that passage, you start, and it's similar to the rest of the chapter. The first verse is kind of a summary verse in that statement. God searches and knows us. He knows us thoroughly. Verse 1, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. And then as we continue through the rest of these verses here, we're going to talk about how does He know us and the expanse of how He knows us. So in verse 2, You know my sitting down and my rising up. So as I go to take a rest, or I go to wait, or as I go somewhere, I'm sitting down, or I'm engaging in an adventure, I'm engaging in a task, I'm engaging in something. He knows as I end it, as I begin it. And He understands my thoughts afar off. He's ahead of me. He can see where I'm going. He can see where I'm thinking. He knows my sitting down, my rising up, where my thoughts are. And He comprehends my path and my lying down. This word comprehend here is really... some of you have a more literal translation. The word is actually winnow. Winnow. W-I-N-N-O. If you winnow something, it's kind of that the winnowing is taking the chaff from the wheat. You know, you get the shells around wheat when it's harvested, and there'll be this chaff around it. When you throw it up in the air, the chaff blows away, and the wheat comes down. That's winnowing. It's separated. He knows the good parts. He knows the details of it, the good parts and the bad parts of the path that we're taking. And He's acquainted with all our ways, how we do things, how we conduct ourselves. He knows that about us. And there's not nothing, anything that we're about to say that He's not aware of. He knows what's on our tongue. There's not a word on my tongue that behold, O Lord, You know it altogether. As I'm about to say it, He knows it. So He knows what I'm doing and how I'm conducting myself. He knows where I'm at, when I'm about to do something, when I'm about to sit down. He knows it all. You know it all together. You have, this is an interesting one in verse 5. You have hedged me behind and before. or the other word is enclosed. You've made an enclosure. Now, for some people, the Ten Commandments and some of those commandments, they can look at it as the standpoint as a hindrance. I can't do anything. But others can look at it as a protection. If I was going out onto a safari and in the middle of Africa somewhere, and there I am and I'm getting ready to rest at night, when I went into the enclosure of the fence that kept me from going out, it also keeps the lions and tigers and bears.
Oh my.
Oh my, yes, thank you. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my, from getting in. And so it protects me. Those Ten Commandments and those rules and things have God has us do. And as you study some of the Levitical law and some of those things, you will understand some of it was protecting them from disease and other things. But as God hedges us in, we can see it as a restriction, but we also can see it as a place of safety. As a restriction or a place of safety. But saying, I have this place of security. You have hedged me around, and your hand is upon me. There is comfort. I think I remember when I was small, and I did it to some of my children. My dad would come along beside me when we were walking through a mall or a store or someplace, and he would put his hand on my neck. With his hand on my neck, there was a certain level of security. There was also a certain level of, I'm not going anywhere unless he wants me to go there. He was guiding me, but it also was a comfort. Oh, that's my dad. He's reached out. He's put his hand on me. He's interested in what I'm doing. And he's guiding me, but he's also protecting me and keeping me from going where I shouldn't go. And sometimes children don't like to be told what they should do and don't do, but sometimes they test the waters because there's security in knowing if I do what my parents tell me, I'm in this boundary zone that is safe. I might not be curious what's out there, but there's safety in knowing where the boundaries are, not in ambiguity. But God has hedged us in, so he knows about us. He knows us thoroughly. He knows all about us. And so this passage 1 through 6 describes the ways that he does. And then he gets to verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high and cannot attain it. Simply put, it feels like the author is saying, wow. Wow. God knows all about me. He knows where I am. He knows it all. Wow. So that can be a place of comfort. He knows me. But then we move into the second section here. That is, there is no place where he is not. Kind of in a summary. You cannot get away. So let's look at verses 7 through 12 now as we continue this thought. So first, he knows us. He knows us thoroughly. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. When you look at verse 7, you get this feeling. When he says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? It makes us think of Jonah fleeing from God. You can't get away from God. And in the sense, he knows me. He knows what I'm thinking about, what I'm about to do, where my path is, where I'm sitting down, where I'm getting up, everything. He knows me. Where can I flee from you? So the sense of conviction. So there's a sense of security. But if you're not right with God, there's a sense of conviction. Where can I get out of this presence? Where can I get out of this? I know I'm not doing it right. It's like that voice in your ear, or at least it should be in your ear when you burp or burp loudly in public. You have to say, excuse me, or something like that. Whatever your mother taught you, because mom's in your head. God is with us everywhere. And there's this knowing, I can't get away from the fact that something is not right. Or it can be great comfort that I'm not alone where I'm at because God is with me. It can be both. But in this particular place, he's saying, well, where can I flee from your presence? Verse 8, if I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. And for your, in your Bible translation notes, or if you have a literal translation, you'll find the word is Sheol. I'm not pronouncing it correctly right, but it's Sheol. Meaning the uttermost parts of the earth. Sometimes it's associated in passages of scriptures with death. But if you think of this contrast of into heaven, meaning the skies, the atmospheric skies, or into the depth of the earth, the height and the depth concept, he's there. And if I take the wings of the morning, think of the sunrise, is what, and some of the commentators see this as, if I take the wings of the morning, as the sunrise come up and how fast the light comes, when it comes and it breaks, the light comes. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, the depths of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. God is there for us. It's a place now of comfort. And your right hand shall hold me. Can you sense that strength and that comfort in that God is there regardless of what the trouble and the trial we're going through? He knows us, what we are doing and where we are going and what's going on about us. And that can be a comfort to you, but it also can be an uneasiness if you're not where God wants you to be. And it continues. If, verse 11, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me. If it shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. In that place of despair, even in those places, it's not dark when you're there with me. There's some different verbiage that could be placed there, but if you pull that context together, if I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. There's no darkness when you're around me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike. So when I'm in the darkness and I feel like the darkness is going to overwhelm me and overcome me, to you that's not a problem. It's not going to overwhelm you, being God. Even in that place of overwhelming, I can't get so far. I'm not in a place where you can't help me as I turn to you, as your hand leads me and guides me. But then again, if I'm not right with you, I can't flee you either. I can't get out of that escape. So he knows us and searches us thoroughly. We can't get to a place where he is not. And then he knows us individually. And this passage of scripture is often used, would often be used for a case against abortion, for the right to life. But it speaks to the fact that he knows us individually. Verse 13 through 16. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. And in your book they all were written. The days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. You formed my inward parts. I see that again kind of as a summary in a way, but you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Can you see that picture there? That word covered is wove. You wove me in my mother's womb. He knew that individual in the mother's womb. And it wasn't just a glob, it was an individual, a person. He knows us individually since our mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He just praises God. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame. When it says my frame, it literally means my bones were not hidden from you when I was made in secret, in that place of protection, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. I tend to think that lower, and others do, that lowest parts of the earth has to be mother's womb. Because as we started that summary verse, as I seem to see that pattern for, you covered me in my mother's womb. When I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. I think it's really interesting. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. That word unformed. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. The word seems, it's in an English phrasing would be G-O-L-E-M, golem. It's Hebrew words, golem. It's only used one time in the Bible. And the translation seems to be, and from others infer, it's embryo or fetus. It's that unformed part. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. So even in the embryo or in the fetus form, and I used an old commentator who was saying the same thing, as I recall. He knew him. And in your book they all were written, days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. And individual. He knew you individually from fetus, from the embryo. He knows others from the embryo. That's why we support the right to life, and that we don't think we should be killing children, unborn children. But he knew you. He knew you not as a number, as a non-known individual. He knows you individually. What you're doing, wherever you're at. And nothing, the darkness or the difficulties that we're going through, is a place that he can't be there with us. And verses 17, 18, he just seems to break out in praise. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they would be more in number than sand. When I awake, I am still with you. He just praises the Lord as he comes to these realizations that you know me, you're with me. Whatever, wherever, whatever situation I'm in, I am in, you can help me. The darkness is not too much for you. And you know me individually. Verse 19 through 22. The author states that he is on God's side. He's against the people that are against God. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. I am on your side, God. I am against you. All that you are against. I'm against all of those that are against you. But first, the next point, I want to get quickly to the next point, is he wants to stay on his side. See, he's acknowledged that he wants him to slay the wicked, but he wouldn't want to be accounted as part of the wicked. If you want God to slay the wicked, you don't want to be part of the wicked. Verse 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me, O God. See, in verse, he says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. Here he comes back to it. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Know my inside, my inner drive, my inner desire. Know me on the inside. Try me, examine me. This is very interesting. It says, and know my anxieties, my troubled thoughts. My troubled thoughts. Something has stirred up this troubling he has. And I don't know if he's felt the conviction of God, because you see in verse 7, oh, where can I flee from your presence? So he's excited what God can do for him, but he seems to have something there. And he's reassured of what all God can do for him. And he's on God's side. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. Sometimes we can have anxieties and troubling and churnings. Doesn't mean that we're doing anything wrong. Just a stirring. But we need God to search it and see if we are doing something wrong or something amiss, or maybe it's just a challenge. But it might be that we are starting to stray. And his declaring is, I want to be all in. I want to be completely in. Search me deep. Know my heart. I know you're capable because I just went through and talked about it. I want you to search me deep. I'm asking you. You did it, but I'm wanting you to search me deep and examine me and know my challenges and my troubled thoughts and things that are concerning me, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Interesting, the word wicked way in there seems to talk about pain or difficulty. See if there's, I think what we're saying here is see if there's any wicked way in me, anything that's going to get me in trouble, or I'm going down the wrong path, or it's going to cause issues. And lead me in the way everlasting. Can you sense this surrender? Search me, O God, and know my heart. I'm an open book. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He has acknowledged that God is capable, and he knows what God's about, and he's praising him, and he just opened himself up to God. Here I am. Here I am. God knows us very well. There's no place that he's not. We can't get out of that place of conviction from him if we're under conviction. Or there's no place that we can't be have security because we're where we need to be with him. He knows us individually. It's a reason for us to praise him. We want to be what God's, we want to be against what God is against. But we want to allow God to come in and search our hearts and keep us on the right path. And we want to have the attitude that we're open to his searching and to his examining so that he can lead us where he wants us to go. And maybe you come today, you're listening, wherever you're listening to this sermon, and you have some anxious thoughts about your relationship with God. Maybe the sermon has just reassured you that God is with you in the midst of the trouble that you're in. And it might not be you're in trouble with him, it's just the challenge of life. Or maybe you do feel the convicting of the Holy Spirit. Or maybe you desire that closeness to God, but something's just not right. Why not find a place of prayer? Let's be standing together. So as I pray, if you're here at the service with us and you need to come forward in prayer, you can pray at these front chairs here. And if you're listening to us online, find a place of prayer. And you can pray along with me, or you can come or pray. And if there's something not right with you, God can help and lead you in the right way. If you're going through a difficulty and a challenge, he's capable. And in your darkness, he can bring the light. He can bring the peace. And there's comfort in having him guide your turns and your ways and to take over in your situation. Let us pray. Lord, we come to you humbly, thanking you for the opportunity to even approach your throne. We are thankful that you've known us since you were that fetus, that embryo. You've known us individually. You know about us. You know everything that's about us. We can't escape you knowing. And that can bring great, great comfort to us. And we're thankful that you know us. You know me individually. You know my quirks and my issues and what my true intents are. My words don't always come out the way that people understand what I really mean. But you know the desire of my heart. And that brings comfort. But Father, if the desires of my heart are starting to get a little out of bent or not in the right direction, or maybe you're asking me to do something greater, or a new place or a correction in my path, may I be open to that. May I have comfort that you're hedging me about. And may I be really uncomfortable if I'm starting to climb out of that hedge. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Father, for those in the sound of my voice, may the Holy Spirit be with them, that they might find their place of prayer to get right with you. And if they're in a challenge, and if they're in a struggle, that, Lord, they might have the peace of God, knowing that your hand is upon them as they allow you to guide them. May they praise you for the mightiness of who you are and how you love us.